Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My next guest is Mr. Jim Harden. He is the CEO of Compass Care. Is it safe to say, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be with you again.
Yes, sir. Is it safe to say that you, are a pro-choice, person who runs a clinic, that deals with many other things, but clearly, you are pro-choice, and you have run into some, like, as you state, many other companies such as yours or businesses such as yours who have been firebombed or been attacked by people who disagree with your stance on pro-choice. Is it safe to say that?
Well, it depends on what you mean by pro-choice. We do believe we're truly pro-choice, only insofar as we give women who feel like they're stuck, like they're trapped, like they've got no choice at all, the ability to make the most difficult choice and have their baby. When a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, she says, "I'm stuck, I'm trapped, I've got no choice, right? I need to have an abortion." And that's not... that's entrapment. That's she's describing coercion. And our job as citizens, as you know, fellow travelers, neighbors, is to come alongside of her with all the community support, all the ethical medical care that she needs in order to make the most difficult choice and have the baby. You know, everybody knows it's more difficult to have a baby than not to have a baby. And so we've got to, you know, she can't do it alone. She feels isolated. And so that's what we do. Yeah. So we are being attacked. There have been over 160 attacks on pro-life medical offices and organizations all across the country since May 2nd. And an organization, a pro-abortion organization, then the domestic terrorist group known as Jane's Revenge, has taken responsibility for our firebombing, catastrophic firebombing. Two firefighters were injured in our Buffalo medical office, and you know, the FBI supposedly is investigating. They just came out with a $25,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. But I think it's I think it's a dollar short and a day late, quite frankly. I mean, we're 5 months after our firebombing now, and no results, no arrests anywhere in the country. And I think we're experiencing injustice, systemic injustice, just because of what we believe.
Well, now you said you use the verbiage the FBI is supposed to be investigating. So that implies that you don't believe that they've been doing their due diligence. Is it safe to say that?
Definitely safe to say that. I do not believe the FBI has been doing their due diligence. I said back in, when was it, August, that they're slow-walking justice. But they have to deprioritize investigations against politically disfavored groups like us. We got a 1,050-page report that came out from the House Judiciary Committee with whistleblower testimony from inside the FBI, basically saying that they have deprioritized law enforcement resources from actually investigating violence against pro-life medical offices like Compass Care.
Do you really believe that the FBI has picked sides and made a decision that even though these crimes have been committed, that because somebody higher up in the FBI is pro, you know, women's rights, and that person impacts and affects the people, all the people in the FBI office to not, you know, do what they're sworn to do? I mean, you really think that's real?
I think that every organization has leaders, and those leaders make decisions about how they use the resources within their organizations. And I think that the Department of Justice, that's in control of the FBI, has been told to stand down.
Stand down.
I think they said that, you know, basically, hey, don't, there's nothing to see here. And now that we got the FBI, we put so much pressure on the FBI over the last 5 months, Earl. And now it got, it's gotten a lot of attention. And you know, coming off the midterm elections like this, I think they want to make it look like they're being even-handed. You think they want everybody to think there's nothing to see here because the House Judiciary Committee has promised to do more investigation.
But again, Jim, that's a stretch, I think people will say. And the fact that, you know, that to not believe, because there are many people who want to defund the FBI for reasons such as what you just have mentioned, that there are many people who would say, well, you're going to throw the entire FBI under the bus there. The FBI then cannot be trusted. Is basically what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think the FBI needs to be put on hold until a thorough investigation can be done as to whether or not they've been politicized. We don't know for sure what's going on. All we know is that President Biden, we know that President Biden did ask Attorney General Merrick Garland in an executive order to investigate the, quote, fraudulent practices of pro-life organizations like ours that are currently being attacked. So I think the FBI does need to be put on hold. I'm not saying, Earl, that the rank-and-file guys on the ground doing responsible for, you know, investigations. I think that they really do want to see some resolutions. But I know that they're being directed. It's the FBI is a militaristic type organization. They people do what they're trained and told to do, and they're just told not to investigate, and they won't investigate. So I think the FBI does need to be defunded or at least put on hold until we can figure this out.
So do you think it's just in this instance dealing with pro-choice, or is the FBI then across the board and the other things that they investigate, that same thing could be true with it throughout all of its processes, or is it just this one?
I think it's everywhere. I think the FBI as a federal law enforcement agency has been co-opted and politicized by a particular, being driven by a political narrative instead of justice. It's their job. They are duty bound, oath bound, to provide equal justice to all citizens, not just to the ones that happen to agree with the political elite. And it's time. I mean, they are not engaging. Crime for justice sake. They're picking and choosing.
You use the verbiage political elite. Who is that? You know, are they Democrats or are they Republicans? Who is the political elite in your opinion, your estimation?
Anybody who wants to manipulate the masses to maintain power. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians—I don't care who they are. The political elite are the ones who have their finger on the switch, who get to decide how to use language to foment outrage, so they can amass more power to themselves.
So if you feel that way about the FBI, then you should feel that way about all other branches of government, right? It can't be trusted. Because it would make no sense to say that just the FBI is a culprit. If that kind of lack of trust with that particular entity, which represents government, you can feel that way, then I would say that would be possible all up and down the entire government of our nation. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. I mean, and here's the flashpoint. I think the flashpoint, there's no better example here than abortion. Abortion is not just another social issue. It is the issue that drove the election these midterms.
There's no question.
Yeah. And the worst thing that ever happened to the pro-life movement is that it became associated with a political party. It can never be the role of any man or government to decide which humans qualify for protection under the law and which ones do not. And that's what abortion represents. I don't think any politician right now cares about abortion, quite frankly. I think what they care about is what abortion gives them. Abortion gives them power. It's power to decide who lives and dies. There is no, what's the definition of absolute power?
Insanity.
It's the ability to decide who lives.
Insanity. Yeah, you know. So, you know, the decision has been made on abortion. People spoke. They felt like their rights were taken away. Women, their bodies, their rights. We got a gentleman on the line from L.A., Tom, who we're going to bring on after we come back from break. But that's what this was about. People sending a message that the Supreme Court took away women's rights. And it was making decisions to impact and affect women's rights. And you would say that it's not just about women's rights. You're saying it's human rights and that those things should supersede women's rights. Is that correct?
That's correct. Anytime you pit an inalienable right against a government-created right, you're on a collision course with the Constitution. And we've got to take a step back as a country and start talking about what it means to be human again, because abortion is a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be human. So I would say, you know, there's no higher view of what it means to be human than what is found in the Judeo-Christian heritage, and that is we're made just a little lower than God himself. I mean, that we are the crown of creation, and we need to emulate that, represent that in the way we talk to each other and the way we treat each other. Sacrificing for our neighbor becomes a noble act because my neighbor carries an inherent dignity, right? And so the weakest and most vulnerable among us is just as valuable, just as worthy of protection under the law as everybody else.
You know, Jim, the last statements you just rendered, I agree totally with, from the standpoint of the least of these, and that we're all the same and that we're all equal. Now how you get from there to, the abortion part of it is where I think people differ. Got to go to the break. Tom, I see you. We'll come to you after the break. My guest is Mr. Jim Harden. He is the CEO of CompCare. You can join us at 844-967-2789. What do you say? We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Jim Harden. He is the CEO of Compass Care. And Jim, before we go to Tom, we've heard for decades about abortion clinics being firebombed. You know, we haven't heard much about, pro-life entities being firebombed. You say that is and has been happening with frequency. It's just not as visible. Is it safe to say that?
Yes, that's exactly what's been happening, especially the violence has accelerated dramatically over the last 6 months. I've gotten death threats. We've had multiple firebombings throughout the country. Ours was the worst by far, with $500,000 of damage. We had to shut down the facility and relocate services. And then two firefighters were injured, of course. But it's been quite an interesting dilemma. And, there have been no arrests at all. I mean, what's the likelihood that the largest law enforcement agency on the globe with the best forensic technology known to man doesn't know who's doing this? If they can identify a perpetrator by the earlobe, we're sitting on a mountain of evidence, and they're not doing anything. They know who's doing these things. They're choosing not to make arrests.
All right. Hang on, Jim. Tom, are you there?
I am, Earl.
All right. Yes, sir. You say what?
Yeah, Jim, I really believe that you guys have co-opted the term pro-life. Because just because a woman has the right to choose doesn't mean that she chooses to have an abortion. I think the media is wrong. I think everyone is wrong that caused this the abortion issue, because no one's pro-abortion. I think that it's either a government's right to choose or a woman's right to choose. And you guys have co-opted this term pro-life. And I guess I would ask in follow-up is, are you someone that's in favor of the death penalty?
Well, let me just say, I think that, first of all, you're right. No one is pro. I don't think any, truly, a thinking person wouldn't be pro-abortion. Certainly women facing unplanned pregnancy, it's not, you know, no sane woman actually wants to have an abortion. She just feels trapped, like she's got no choice at all. So I would agree with you there. With respect to co-opting the phrase or the term pro-life, I don't know that we co-opted it. I don't know that it was been co-opted. The word life has been replete throughout the American culture since the Declaration of Independence. We are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, life being liberty and the pursuit of happiness, life being the foundational principle, the foundational inalienable right that upon which all other rights are predicated, right? You can't have other rights if you don't have anybody to, you know, enjoy those rights. I would say that, yeah, we haven't co-opted it. We're just basically saying, look, it's not the government's job to disqualify anyone as a person protected under the law, because that paves the road for the wheels of government to roll over the personhood of others. I mean, who's going to be next? Who are they going to choose to roll over next? You, me, my aging parents, my neighbor's child in the hospital, whoever voices disagreement with those at the switch in government. Government does not hold the reins of who decides who lives and dies. That is tyranny. That is not freedom. And so I think that you're right. My hope is that the word pro-life will be embraced by everybody and will mean the same thing to everybody. And that is everybody, no matter who they are, no matter their stage or station, is protected under the law.
But government does hold the reins on who lives or dies, because there are some states that believe in capital punishment.
Yeah, exactly. And that gets to Tom's last point there about capital punishment. I would say that, you know, over the last several decades, the morality of a government relative to executing justice and the morality of an individual, me and you, have been conflated. They have been seen as the same thing. So I'm not supposed to murder anybody, and therefore that applies to a government entity relative to the justice system. And so I think that there's the distinction there. There's two different types of expectations. There's a moral requirement that the government, you know, maintain a justice system, and the Bible says bear the sword. Now that refers to, you know, deciding, whether or not someone should die for a criminal act. And that's, you know, that's not the purview of an individual. An individual doesn't get to say whether or not somebody should. I'm not the judge, jury, and executioner of anybody. I'm just supposed to make sure that I live my life respecting other people's lives around me.
So let me ask you, Jim, and then Tom, you can have another shot at it. Here we are, three men, and I think at the root of all of this is the fact that there are men who have these discussions, and the fact that overwhelmingly women spoke during this past election cycle and clearly believed that the decisions that were made by the United States Supreme Court was not in, it gave them their freedoms to make decisions when we talk about the Constitution and all of those things, and they chose to go with their freedoms, and yet here we are, three men who are having this conversation. Is that at the root of what the problem is, that we're not hearing the women, Jim?
That's a really good point. The fact is, I think the reason why abortion exists is because men refuse to do what they're supposed to do. Women have abortions because they feel alone. They feel unsupported. And where's the man? A man is not just supposed to look at a woman as an object and use her for his own personal pleasure. A man is supposed to stand by her. A man is supposed to take responsibility for what he does. And that's we are seeing an epidemic of irresponsibility on the part of men. So this is a human problem. We've got a problem with our whole society is breaking down.
So, Jim, hang on. I wish we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Tom, hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. And I can die when I'm... All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the CEO of Compass Care, Mr. Jim Harden. And, you know, he's saying a lot of different things, but more than anything else, it is his mistrust of the FBI, and because his clinic was firebombed, and he believes that the FBI has not done their due diligence. He also stated that there are many other clinics that have been ransacked, and 150 pro-life organizations causing $3.75 million in damage, and the FBI and the government has not done the due diligence to protect them. And Tom from LA is on the line. Tom, you wanted to say what?
Yeah, Jim, I would just say that I'm probably in some ways more pro-life than even yourself, because I personally, and it's not my choice, that's the biggest thing, but, you know, I don't want there to be termination of pregnancies. I don't want there to be death penalty. I don't want there to be war. But I don't think, and especially you that's coming on the radio here and talking about your distrust and horrificness in government, I don't know why you would want government to make that choice for a woman. It sounds to me like you actually believe in women, and you believe in the two people, and not having a government bureaucrat in the room with the doctor and the woman, and the doctor and the woman and her partner. So I'm a little confused that you're anti kind of government, but you're pro the government's right to choose what a woman does with her body. And I'm saying to you that just because a woman has the choice, I would think you would be a banner person for pro-choice, because you actually believe that women, not the government, has the choice of whether to terminate or not terminate. And you may be completely for not termination, but the thing is, you still should be more in favor of a woman's right to choose than you are the government's right to choose. It's not an abortion issue. It's a choice issue, and it's either pro woman's right to choose or pro big government's right to pro government's right to choose. So I just don't understand it. Like I said, it sounds to me like you would be more on the side of women than you would be government.
Jim.
Well, I think I'm definitely more on the side of women than I am on the side of government. I don't know that the way you characterize government's role is the way I would characterize it. I'm a Christian, and I believe that everything since Genesis chapter 3 is history. I mean, God created man to have choice, right? I mean, that's everybody knows we have a choice. We can choose to make good decisions or poor decisions, and what history has shown us is that good decisions have good consequences and bad decisions have negative ones.
Dominion.
Yeah. Right. So, when a woman has always had the ability to engage in abortion. Just because a government makes it illegal or legal doesn't mean that she doesn't have the right to the right. I mean, not necessarily the right, but the ability to get an abortion. The problem is that when they face an unfunded policy, they're attacking. Government is attacking pro-life organizations because they only want women to have one option, and that's abortion. We're being attacked because we're the only competition to the abortion industry. The billion-dollar abortion complex is one of those industries that gets politicians reelected. They don't want to see the industry go away because it foments the base. So I mean, we're really pro woman. We don't want this to be, you know, in the government, because that's one of the worst things that's happened is the politicization, if you will, of serving women facing unplanned pregnancy. And so we're being attacked by politicians. We're being investigated by New York Governor Hochul.
Let me ask you, because I really don't understand. Why would you be investigated? Why would the government, because you say we're pro-life, what would be the purpose of anybody attacking you if because you're choosing to just have a dialogue and a conversation with women and saying, well, you know, you don't have to have the abortion? I don't see where that's a threat to anybody.
I don't see it as a threat either. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. But the reason why they're doing it ostensibly is because we don't provide what they call comprehensive reproductive health care. What that means is, the translation is, that we don't refer or provide for abortion. We'll do everything else, but because we don't refer or provide for abortion, they're saying that we're not a bona fide health provider. We're not so it's similar to saying going to a hospital and saying, hey, you're not a bona fide hospital because you don't do gender reassignment.
So one is clearly there's a medical procedure when it comes to abortion. And you guys don't do any medical procedure. Isn't that, factual?
We don't do surgical procedures. We do medical procedures. We do medical diagnostics, STD testing and treatment, stuff like that. But we don't do surgical. We don't do anything that has to do with abortion, because we don't believe abortion is.
Well, but then again, they would be accurate, wouldn't they, in saying that you are not, doing that procedure? You can't be the same as somebody who's doing a medical procedure. Isn't that a fair assessment?
Oh, sure. There is no medical provider who does every medical procedure.
No, but they at least do one. That would be the definition of what that is.
Yeah, and we do more than one. Part of the beginning of all medical procedures is diagnosis. You've got to diagnose a patient's condition first, and the only reason you got to diagnose a patient's condition is so that you can tell her what her treatment options are. And there's multiple treatment options, but the abortion industry doesn't do that. With the chemical abortion that's going on right now, which represents over half of all abortions in America, many women aren't even diagnosed as being pregnant before they're getting these dangerous chemical abortion drugs sent to them in the mail. I mean, this is fraud. This is malpractice.
So Jim, let me ask you, because the other side of this is there were people who clearly did not want contraceptive to even be available, which is, to me, is insane. You can't, on the one hand, say that we don't want people having abortions, but we don't want them to have contraceptives either. I mean, what is that?
Well, that's the thing. On the lead up to the midterms, there were so many things that were being said. Like at the Reproductive Health Task Force, Joe Biden and VP Harris were talking at the White House, and they were saying that Republicans, pro-life Republicans, wanted to outlaw contraception. But I didn't see that anywhere. I didn't see anybody say anything like that. I heard the propaganda. I heard them saying that was being said, but I didn't see it anywhere. And they also said that women were in danger of being sent to jail. I didn't see anybody saying that either. If they were going to pursue an abortion, they weren't going to be sent to jail. They were going to say that women are going to die on the operating table because, if they were miscarried. That didn't happen anywhere. That wasn't promoted by anybody. But it was being fomented as if it were true. And I think that's how a lot of the pro-abortion Democrats got traction with the base. They fomented fear, and it was false allegations.
Hey, Tom,
that's
Hey, Tom, you're next.
Abortion Democrats, which is not true. Democrats are pro a woman's right to choose. I don't know, sir. It just seems to me that what you're saying, you trust women and all of this, and the issue is, I mean, just because a woman has the right to choose does not mean she's going to choose abortion. I think you can show that with your organization. So I'm just not sure why it is that you keep on throwing it like the government's going to force some woman to have an abortion. That's not going to happen. And it's just the opposite. It's governments choosing women to force birth. And I just don't understand. I mean, first off, I'm a Christ follower. I'm not a Christian, by the way, because Christian, I think, has gotten a really bad name. But Jesus didn't say anything in the Bible about terminations of pregnancies. And I'm very, very befuddled by the facts. I'm sure your organization's making money also over what you do, if I were to follow the money. And honestly, if you look at the statistics, there are less terminations of pregnancies under Democratic rule than there are under Republican rule. So I mean by that by president. So I'm just not sure what it is exactly that you mean when you say that you're, you know, pro-life. First of all, you're not pro-life. You are pro-government's right to choose. You are pro-big government telling a woman what to do with her body, which makes her into a second-class citizen. It does not make her where she has a choice. It's where she basically has to ask big government if she can actually either terminate or not terminate. And the thing is, there's so many women out there, 80, 90% of women have children. So I'm very, very perplexed by the fact that we can sit here and make this a pro-life or pro-death. Let's just be honest. That's what the opposite of pro-life is pro-death. You know, that's not what this is. This is either pro the government's right to choose or pro a woman's right to choose. Hey. Hey, and you know what? I trust women.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, Jim, I don't know if we ever get out of this, right? I don't think we ever get out of this. And even though, you know, we are where we are now, women overwhelmingly voted against what the United States Supreme Court did. And it is the main reason why Republicans did not, in many instances, have the tsunamis that they were talking about, because women clearly sent a message that they don't want, these kind of decisions being made by the government.
Yeah, when Republicans, pro-life Republicans actually talked about abortion and their position as pro-life, they did win. When they refused, and I said this was going to happen back in August when we started to see a lot of pro-life politicians scrubbing their website.
Before you go any further, you said when Republicans talked about pro-life, they won.
Yeah.
Almost all of the Republicans who were running, whether they were local or national, I heard them all talking about, pro-life, and so I don't know so much if that's a statement that can be measured as a true statement, because again, the overwhelming majority of people in this country believe that women have a right to choose, and that was at the root of why Republicans lost.
Well, we did a brief kind of analysis of the pro-life Republicans that won. And again, I hate to characterize them as pro-life Republicans and pro-abortion Democrats. The only reason I do that is because I think that we should cross aisles. I think that people need to be pro-life across any political party, because we're you said earlier, we're not sure we're going to get out of this. And we're not going to get out of it until we separate the difference between a woman's right and a child's right to life, because that's what happened with the Dobbs case. The Dobbs case basically said, look, when Roe came down, it was on a collision course with the Constitution. And the reason why it was on a collision course with the Constitution is because the government created a right. And whenever a government starts to create rights, it's always going to, at some point in the future, be at odds with one of the inalienable rights that God has instilled within us.
So if the government doesn't create the rights, you know, somebody has to. Because, you know, I mean, we can say we live according to the book, the Bible, but the interpretation of that in many instances is up to the individual. So government has to create the rights and the laws. You know, we can't, you know, abdicate that to, you know, what's in a book.
Well, I think the government has to recognize there's a certain aspect of what it means to be human, you know? For example, humans believe things. Humans speak things because of what they believe. Humans behave in certain ways because of what they believe. And all these things are recognized in the Constitution, like the First Amendment. Humans have the ability, the natural inclination to protect themselves and their families. Humans have the natural inclination to want to protect their own communities. I mean, these are all recognized by government, not created by government. So I think government has a responsibility to recognize them so that they stay out of them and don't contravene them and create dehumanizing laws, laws that bring us down and create systemic injustices whereby they legalize the oppression or destruction of a category of human. And I think that's what I'm getting at here. Newborn boys and girls are human beings, and they're being systemically oppressed as a next generation and even destroyed.
So, Jim, we got to go to a break, and I want to respond to what you just said on the other side. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My guest is Mr. Jim Harden. He is the CEO of CompCare. We'll be right back. Last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Jim Harden of CompCare. You know, I'm a person, man, who believes without any questions whatsoever that humanity and human beings and all of that are the most important part of any of this, right? Life and all of those things. But there clearly was frustration when people, and many who talked about, well, like the Ron Johnson, the guy we have here, a United States senator who, and others who basically said, we had a guy running for governor here who said it doesn't matter if, you know, a young girl was raped, she should carry the child, you know, full term. And so there were some absolutes involved in this. Are there absolutes involved in your belief?
I mean, we've got to have a true north. Mankind is not made in the image of government, but God. We are not endowed by our government with inalienable rights, but by our Creator. Human dignity and equality are not dependent upon a democracy, but a deity. That's what I believe. This truth alone is society's moral lodestar. It's our true north, and it protects us from the ship of state running aground on the shoals of other statutes, extreme examples of our own trying to get out of situations. Why should we punish the child for the sins of the father? I mean, the child is the child. It's an act of, we are an act of God. We were in the mind of God before all this creation even happened. That's what the Bible says. And I trust that we're going to have to find a way as a community to get away from the barbarity that we're experiencing right now. The fact that rape exists and incest exists is hell on earth, and that needs to stop. But at the same time, we have to hold tightly to the belief that every single human being, without exception, is made in the image of God and equally valuable and deserving of blessing and protection. That's what we need to make it hard after that, because we're in a fallen world.
Let's go quickly, Eric from Tulsa. Good morning, Eric. You say what?
Hey, Errol. Thanks for having me on. I'd like to say, first of all, to balance that last statement, let's be honest, rape and incest is never going to go away. It's been around as long as men and women have been human beings. Incest is something that religion and family basically created out of, hey, something doesn't work right when people too closely related get together anyway. So let's not even talk about that. That's all folly to cover up what's going on here. I'd like to ask this dude, do you actually do you offer referrals to any patients that come in and just refuse your services? Do you actually offer referrals to abortion clinics?
We do not provide referrals for abortion or abortion clinics because we believe it's malpractice. We believe that a woman needs to be protected and blessed and honored with as much resources, community resources, and ethical medical care that she can get. And so that's what we do. It takes a lot of coordination, a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lifetime of commitment.
And their life under trauma, and to coerce them to not exercise their own human rights, but to instead coerce them to do what your business is designed to do. Are you also known as a crisis pregnancy center? Is that the common term for what your organizational buildings are called?
Crisis pregnancy centers is a term that's being used by pro-abortion domestic terrorist groups like Jane's Revenge and pro-abortion politicians that are attacking pro-life organizations like us. Specifically, I'm thinking of Elizabeth Warren and those her ilk. So if that's what you're referring to, perhaps yes. But we don't call ourselves crisis pregnancy services. We're a medical office that provides bona fide ethical medical care and comprehensive community support.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Robert quickly from West Dallas. Quickly, Robert, you say what?
I guess I wonder if the government came in and told your guest he had to have a vasectomy because they thought he was too old to be a father, would he be okay with that? I see no difference between these guys and the mullahs over in Iran trying to use religion to drive public policy. It's very clear in the United States there is no established religion, and I don't know why the right doesn't seem to understand this.
Robert,
of our documents.
Thank you very much for the call. We'll have more time. You want to respond, Jim? You got the last of it.
Yeah, I think there is an established religion in America, and it's called the religion of the secular state. And they're forcing people, including Christians, to behave in ways that are counter to what they believe.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, man. We'll meet up again. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Connor. See you later.
Thank you.
Until you use me up. Until you use me up. Talking about you, people, it all depends on what you do. It ain't too bad the way you and me, cause I sure am using you to do the things you do. I had to do the things you do.